Today we are celebrating the third Sunday of Lent, which means we are one-third of the way through the Lenten season. So at the beginning of my reflections today, I'd like to invite you to renew your Lenten commitments. You know, 2 weeks ago we made promises, most of us did anyway, that we're going to live Lent in a certain kind of way. Most of us probably aren't doing what we said we'd do. So it's important to stop at this moment and do two things, to analyze if what we promised to do was reasonable, and if it wasn't, we're going to change it, but we're going to commit ourselves to doing something that we will actually do. Now, if Lent isn't used for conversion, then we're wasting the Lord's time and missing His graces. So right now, just for a few moments, look at your heart. Are you keeping your Lenten resolutions? If you aren't, you probably made two big ones, you know, bigger than you should have. Maybe you're just lazy, you know, I don't know. And it's important to renew that commitment in some way tonight when you get home. So, as you all know, the season of Lent is primarily set aside for catechumens, those who will be baptized at Easter. And the scripture readings are presented to give them the basic teachings of what it means to be a Christian. For those of us who are older Christians, been baptized a long time, it's a time for us to relearn the basics of our faith. And in today's scripture readings, we find some extraordinarily basic things about what it means to be a Christian and to be a Catholic. The first reading is from the book of Exodus and is the story of God giving the Jewish people the Ten Commandments. How many of you memorized the Ten Commandments when you were in Catholic school or in CCD? A lot of us. How many of you could say them today? Fewer. How many of you actually follow them? Nobody. So, at least you're honest, right? But that's kind of important, isn't it? That we don't just learn them in the past, but they become part of who we are. We don't have to memorize them in order, but we have to know the basic ways of acting to be a Christian. And it's important for us to try to keep them, you know, to try to make our lives consonant, means in accord with what we say we believe. And the Ten Commandments are God's plan for human happiness. If you want to be happy, don't steal. If you want to be happy, don't commit adultery. If you want to be happy, keep holy the Lord's Day, honor God. You know, all the commandments are summarized by the two big commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and soul, and strength is the first. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But those big commandments are kind of general, right? And the Ten Commandments are God putting flesh on those general directions for our lives. So I hope that as part of your Lenten practice, you will look over the Ten Commandments and evaluate your life against them. These are not suggestions, you know. They are commands. But they're not arbitrary rules. They're directions for human happiness. God's roadmap to what will truly satisfy us in the depths of our hearts. Now, there's 10 of them, so this could be a very long sermon, you know. But I'm only going to talk about one. And I want to talk about the one that I think in some ways is the most important. And it might not seem like the most important to you because it isn't followed very much by Catholics today. And that's the third commandment, to keep holy the Sabbath day. Now, the church from the very beginning after Jesus' death and resurrection transferred the Sabbath to Sunday, which was a day of the resurrection. But the church understood that the minimum requirement for someone who was a serious Christian, not the maximum requirement, not an ideal that we should strive for, but the minimum requirement is to go to Mass once a week. And if you don't do that, you're missing opportunities for growth, and you're risking your salvation. I'm testing your memory. How many of you remember when it was a mortal sin to miss Mass on Sunday? Well, it still is. I don't know how we've gotten away from that. You know, it used to be, when I was a kid, 75-80% of Catholics went to Mass every Sunday because we had an obligation to do it. Today, in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, about 30% go to Mass every week. And that's 50% drop. So something's wrong, you know. It used to be that Catholics went to Mass in greater numbers than Protestants went to church on Sunday. But a couple of years ago, the Gallup poll demonstrated that Protestants are more faithful at going to church on Sunday than Catholics are. And they don't have a requirement. And we do. Now, why do we go to Mass on Sunday? We go for a lot of reasons. Some of us come to get consoled because we have difficulties in our life. We have problems, and we come to Mass to be consoled by God's mercy. Some of us come to Mass because our wives make us, you know, or our parents make us go. Others go to Mass because they want something from God. They say, I'll come to Mass if you do this for me. Kind of a bargaining with God. But the only real reason we go to Mass on Sunday is to worship God together as sisters and brothers. Now, we can get consoled somewhere else. We can get fellowship somewhere else. We can get educated in our faith somewhere else. But the only place we can worship God together is at Mass on Sunday. So look at your hearts, look at your lives, look at the pattern. And if you haven't been serious about doing what the Lord asks of you, then to get serious, because this is the minimum that's required for us. You know, God has given us 365 days a year, most years, sometimes it's 66, right? And God also gives us 7 days a week and 24 hours each day. And all he wants back from us is 1 hour, once a week, unless you come to this Mass when it's an hour and 15 minutes, right? Maybe. So please, let that be in some ways the basic Lenten conviction and commitment to go to Mass every Sunday. Now, that's a pretty basic lesson, isn't it, in Christian life, that the catechumens are hearing, maybe for the first time, and you and I have heard many, many times before. Today's second reading is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Corinth was a very difficult community for St. Paul. It's one of the, if you read the letters of St. Paul to the Corinthians, he's always correcting them about some disturbance in their community. And today's reading is very interesting because it tells us a basic, maybe the foundational attitude of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Listen to what St. Paul said to them and says to us today. Brothers and sisters, Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, who is a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, Christ crucified is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, why is this foundational? Because the cross, which is central to our identity as Christians, is a symbol of the sacrifice that Jesus experienced and the sacrifice which God expects from each one of us. It's not primarily about suffering, although Jesus suffered in an extraordinary way, but it's about giving himself away. Now, Jesus gave himself away to the Father for us when he died on the cross. And to be a disciple of Jesus means to learn from him to give ourselves away to God and also in the service of one another. This is foolishness to the Greeks. The Greeks are the people who weren't Jews, who didn't understand the plan of God. You know, self-centeredness is the ordinary way people live. But the way of Jesus is the way of self-forgetfulness and self-sacrifice. You know, he told us the way to find life is to lose it. And that we're called every day to take up our cross and follow him. And the cross, again, isn't suffering, it's sacrifice. Wives, you're supposed to sacrifice for your husbands. Husbands, you're supposed to sacrifice for your wives. Parents, you sacrifice for your children. And you don't get tired of this. We all get tired of it, but not as a Christian. We don't decide, well, I'm going to sacrifice one day and then it's your turn. You know? The constant attitude of a Christian is self-giving in imitation of Jesus who gave himself for us. And if we could just learn that, we'd begin to be Christians and we'd change the world. So you can see this is the fundamental teaching of what it means to be a Christian, given the catechumens and given as a reminder to you and me on this third Sunday of Lent. Now we come to the gospel. Spring cleaning is associated with this time of the year, right? The word Easter is Germanic in origin, and it means spring. And so the feast of Easter that we are getting ready to celebrate is a time of refreshment, renewal, new life in the church. But that's as in our homes, spring is preceded by house cleaning. The season of Lent is a time when we clean the house of our personal lives and of our community lives for God. And that's what today's gospel is about. Jesus goes to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Passover. He's going to church. He's going to church. He was a faithful Jew. He went to church. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. And he's going to Jerusalem for the big feast. And he gets to the temple, and he gets angry. You know, Jesus gets angry a number of times in the scriptures. I like to point that out because we sometimes have this image of Jesus that is very politically correct. You know, he's a blonde-headed German who looks really sweet and is always kind and always forgiving no matter what we do. In today's gospel, Jesus makes a whip out of cords, goes into the temple and chases those who are selling animals and the money changers out of the temple. He got angry. And the reason he got angry is because he saw something about what was going on that was not according to the plan of God. Now, if you don't know the rules for the Jews in the temple, you don't understand this gospel, because it was required that Jewish people would offer animal sacrifices in the temple. And that's why the people were there selling lambs and birds and cattle as the offerings that the Jewish people would make to God. Also, the money changers served a very important role because most of the coins that were used at that time, let's say the Roman coins, had a picture of the emperor on it, and the emperor claimed to be God. And so they weren't allowed to use these idolatrous coins in the service of the temple. And these money changers turned the Roman coins into Jewish coins so they could offer, the Jewish people could offer these in sacrifice or for sacrifices. So what was wrong? Why was Jesus angry? Well, he was angry because those who were doing that, instead of doing something that would enhance the worship of God, were doing it for themselves. They turned an act of worship into a marketplace to make profit for themselves, to turn around what was supposed to be worship, which is attention to God, into something for themselves. And so in our own lives, have we turned the church into a marketplace? And sometimes I think pastors do that in parishes, don't they? They're always talking about money. At least you tell me they are. You know. And then those lovely ladies doing bake sales. I'm just joking. You know, they do good things for the church. But you and I do business in church. It's not appropriate. For example, this bargaining with God that I talked about. You know, Lord, I'll do this if you do this for me. That's doing business with the Lord rather than trusting in Him. You know, it's using God for our purposes. Or coming to church to get attention rather than to worship God. Or coming to church just for fellowship rather than for worship is misusing the church. And just as Jesus got that whip out and chased those people out of the temple, it's important for you and I to whip out of our own lives. I'm not talking literally about beating ourselves, but to whip out of our lives anything that undermines true faith and religion. To cleanse our house, our spiritual house. And that's why we practice things in Lent, like fasting and almsgiving and prayer. That's a way of house cleaning, you know, of making sure that our orientation is really towards God and not simply about ourselves. And we're told that when his apostles thought after Jesus rose from the dead, they remembered this moment, this scene. They remembered a passage from Psalm 69, which says this: "Zeal for your house will consume me." The reason Jesus did this is he had zeal for the house of God. Now, do you know what the word zeal means? You know, it's not a commonly used word today. I think a similar word that can help us understand it, a word that has the same root, actually, is the word jealous. There's being jealous and there's being zealous. And they have a connection. And the connection is about the intensity of commitment. You know, when we're jealous of someone, that means we feel strongly that we wish that we had what they had and they didn't have it. To be zealous means to feel strongly or to be deeply committed to the house of God, to faith. So are you zealous? You know, if you made Lenten practices that you're not following, you're not zealous. You know. And the Lord invites us on this third Sunday of Lent to have hearts full of zeal for the Lord and the things of the Lord. One final thought. You know, it might seem curious to you that Jesus would be crucified by the Romans and the Jews. I mean, he was a good man who preached love of God and love of neighbor to the point of self-sacrifice. What was it about him that irritated them so that they crucified him? I mean, that's pretty serious, you know, to kill someone and to kill someone through crucifixion is even more serious. Why did they do this? I think we have the answer in today's scripture readings, because after Jesus had this display of anger, it says that the people standing around said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" You know, for chasing these people out of the temple. Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And as you heard, the church interpreted that. He wasn't talking about this building that took 46 years to build. He was talking about the temple of his body. But Jesus was saying that what went on in the temple, this sacrifice and this prayer, you know, it was the center of Jewish life, is going to be replaced by Jesus himself. That he is the new temple. That the church is the body of Christ. And that turns everything upside down. Jesus made himself the center of Jewish worship and life rather than the temple in Jerusalem. And those of us who are Christians believe that to be true. You know, Jesus is the place where we meet God. Jesus is the one through whom God comes to us. That's what the temple is all about, right? About mediation between God and human beings. Do you believe that? Is Jesus your temple? Do you believe that you're part of the body of Christ? That you're living stones through which Jesus builds up the body of the church? And if you don't believe that, you're not a Christian. And if you do believe it but don't practice it, this is the time to get busy about putting into practice the things you say you believe. We have 4 more weeks. Easter is almost here. Let's ask the Lord to change our lives.